welcome to another edition of NWR Newscast. My name is Andy Gergen, and I'll be your host this week. With me first is Lucas Belichke.
Hello.
Zach Miller.
What's up?
And coming back to the NWR Newscast, we have Neil Runahan.
Yes, hi. It's good to be back in the NWR Newscast land, the thing that I co-founded about 3 episodes and 4 score ago.
And it's been bi-weekly ever since, right?
Yeah, it's been bi-weekly all the time.
Right.
So we're going to start this off with a new segment called What You Reviewing. Look behind the review screens of a few of our staff writers here. Lucas, why don't you start?
Well, I'm doing a backlog review of Cursed Mountain, where Neil originally passed on to me, and he'll describe to you why in a second. I personally think it's a great, unique survival horror game that especially takes advantage of the Himalaya settings and Buddhist themes, and it doesn't shoehorn them, but it fits them in perfectly.
Did you actually find the story to be good at all?
It was pretty decent, considering that it's primarily about one brother saving another brother and the spirits of the mountain being pissed that foreigners are traveling through.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of just the story of that game. I mean, I liked the concept. I liked how they worked in all the different like Buddhist stuff into it. But as far as the actual narrative, I mean, I guess one of my big problems in the whole game was just the fact that the pacing in it is completely awful. And I'm a kind of person that doesn't really like longer movies in that sense, because I hate it when pacing is bad. And I mean, with a game, like, that's even worse. Like, I mean, especially, not to talk about Uncharted 2, since this is, you know, Nintendo, but, I mean, that's something where the pacing is consistent, and in Cursed Mountain, the pacing in that game is just horrible, and you're just slowly moving and slowly moving, nice particle effects, slowly moving. Oh, there's an enemy.
Yeah, but I really love the environments, and that's what really draws me into the game and keeps me hooked. But the pacing does kind of make it feel a little jerky and such, but I found that I could deal with it well. At times, the special motion control combat during, well, regular combat, when, well, you can trigger also in order to break specific seals, it can be pretty decent, but it kind of does get a little frustrating when it fails if you tend to do like fast, jerky motion controls instead of like slower, broader movements. But I think I found it's very unique, and I sort of liked it rather than trying to copy and paste a formula of another survival horror game into Cursed Mountain.
I do like the, like, I mean, you brought up the gestures and everything, and I feel like they're really good when they work, but yeah. I know you mentioned before about how you kind of realize that you have to do very calculated movements in order to get it to work, and I guess, I mean, maybe I stumbled upon that, but I just had a lot of trouble because I would be like, Wii Remote's going to the left, why isn't it going to the left, what the hell? And yeah. I mean, there's too many of those moments that take away from when the gesture moments actually do work.
Well, it never really degraded into that for me. At first, yeah, I was a little frustrated since I tended to do somewhat of a faster and more jerkier movements rather than a slightly slower but more broader movements.
For anyone wondering of why the review is so damn late, so I was working on the Cursed Mountain review, and I finished it. It took me a while. It was kind of a hard review to write, and I saved it, and the flash drive that I had, unbeknownst to me, was kind of up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. It was actually a Tetris flash drive that I got at E3 that I was using, because I was like, it's Tetris, it's never going to fail. And it failed, and every file on that flash drive got corrupted, and one of those files was the Cursed Mountain review. So instead of, you know, retyping a review that I already finished and had ready for editing, I said, screw it, and I sent the game off to Luke.
Yep, and of course, I sort of got a little delayed, especially how I was handling the Wii Fit Plus review and the Gravitronics review, which both are up right now. But I will try to get Cursed Mountain out ASAP and on time for Halloween.
Yeah, so this delay was worth it, because it'll be spooky.
Yep. And if you are wondering, I'm getting two other games for review, so you should look forward to those. They are Bleach, The Third Phantom, and The Wizard of Oz, The Yellow Brick Road.
Beyond the Yellow Brick Road.
Yes, there it's you not go. Just the Yellow Brick Road. You're going past it.
Oh, I see.
Far, far beyond your wildest imagination.
This road goes to 11.
And
So,
Neil, how about you?
Over the rainbow. Okay, anyway. So I have been playing I'm going to mention two games. I should have a review of Guitar Hero 5 and Astro Boy, but those aren't the games that I'm going to be talking about. Those should be up soon. I have those submitted for editing. But I have been playing recently The Secret Saturdays: Beasts of the Fifth Sun, some Cartoon
That's
Network franchise that I've never heard of before, but it's one of those high voltage developed, I guess, shovelware titles, if you will. And Astro Boy is also one of those. Astro Boy is a pile of crap. Secret Saturdays is actually not turning out to be that bad.
Astro Boy, I would have to assume, is based on the new movie.
Yes.
And just to go over Astro Boy, there's shooting, there's brawling. The brawling is complete ass. The shooting isn't as plentiful, and the shooting's passable. So, there's Astro Boy in a nutshell. You don't even have to read the review.
Sounds like a licensed game to me.
Yeah.
Well, I found one thing really shameful. Are you guys familiar with the Treasure Astro Boy game on Game Boy Advance?
Oh, I am familiar with it.
This is very obviously stealing Omega Factor's goodness and trying to replicate it and completely failing.
Yeah, like in multiple interviews from what I read, they were trying to make it inspired by that Game Boy Advance game, but looks like they failed.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, I don't want to go into critiquing developers too much. I mean, they probably tried. They were probably constrained by the movie license. I mean, whenever I talk to anybody about movie license games, I was actually talking to someone in a developer special for Pixelbit that will be lost to the sands of time because it was about a PlayStation Network game, and they mentioned about how with movie licensed games, they're on such a strict schedule, and you want to do all these cool things with it, and you're just so restricted with it. And with Astro Boy, that just reeks of that. I feel like if that game had a couple more months to it, it would have been okay. But they didn't, because the movie was coming out and they were probably on a schedule. And you got to think, I mean, with High Voltage, their A-team probably isn't working on Astro Boy anyway, because they're working on The Conduit with The Grinder, Gladiator AD, and all that other stuff. And they're also doing other games, such as The Secret Saturdays, Beast of the Fifth Sun, or, as I like to call it, Little Kid Bionic Commando, because that's basically what it is. Because, like, you're this, or at least, I mean, there's it's this whole family, that's what the Saturdays are, and I think the main guy's name is Zach Saturday.
So is it supposed to be The Incredibles?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, I've never heard of the Cartoon Network show before, I just know there is a show on Cartoon Network. But basically, you control this kid in a, side-scrolling, like I guess a 2.5D side-scrolling thing. And he's got, like, this staff that, if you, you can use it to, melee enemies and everything. You can jump in this, so, I mean, it's not that much like Bionic Commando in that regard. But you also can shoot out the staff and then, swing from areas and go around that way.
This is on Wii, I assume?
Yes. I think it's like, Wii, PS2, and DS.
Okay.
No, Wii, PS2, PSP, and DS.
Okay.
That's a winning lineup.
Yep. Big difference. Yeah. To the four people that will buy this game on PSP, I'm sorry I didn't mention it first. But maybe it's available for digital download on PSP Go.
Now they've unsubscribed.
I think that means though that nobody will be buying it.
But I mean, it's kind of fun. It's not really as bad, especially after going from Astro Boy to this, where I was kind of expecting it to be awful, but it's a decent Bionic Commando ripoff, whereas Astro Boy is a bad Astro Boy ripoff. And I mean, you also control other family members, and there's a little bit of pointer control where that's how you select there's a dog that you can run around and climb walls on.
Does the dog solve puzzles?
No.
Huh.
Not a crime-fighting dog?
Well, kind of.
What?
Kind of, but not really. He'll basically, you climb around walls and get to another area, and then he'll also boost the kid up.
Oh, okay. See, I was trying to make a Leighton reference there.
Touche.
That's all I got.
Okay, let's move on to Zach. What are you reviewing, Zach?
I'll be getting Nostalgia and Spore Hero Arena. Haven't yet.
Nostalgia is fantastic.
Is it?
Dubs.
Okay, hold on, though. I'm not a big hardcore RPG guy.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I shouldn't be reviewing this game. Like, I like Mario RPG. I like the more lightweight RPGs. Is this Final Fantasy?
Kind of. Well, the game is called Nostalgia for a reason.
Oh no.
And that, it
wait, that might be good, because I like the original Dragon Warrior.
Then you might like this.
Okay, good. Anyway, the one I'm reviewing right now is Spyborgs.
Oh, cool.
And I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
Were you 501?
What do you mean?
Were you the 501st person?
Oh, yes,
to buy
I was.
Game?
I was, yes. And that's why I bought it, because we played it at E3. I think me and James played it. And I kind of liked it. It was generic, but I didn't care because I was having a good time. And I liked the art style. So I was like, I think Lucas is the one who said, hey, it's only sold 500 copies. I was like, I feel sorry for them. It should be selling more. So I went on and bought it for $20. And it's mediocre.
So I had heard that earlier builds of this game had a lot more humor built in. Is that correct?
It was supposed to be, yeah, it was supposed to be like...
It was originally going to be like this weird Saturday morning cartoon where it was like all this like zany commercials and everything.
Which they tried to retain a little bit in the character designs, I feel like.
Yeah, like it feels like a almost like a teenager Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of ones that don't really last on television that long.
Yeah.
Because it's a very odd market.
Teenagers don't watch cartoons.
Yep.
I mean, I as a former teenager, I did, but it was like
Batman
the
Animated Series.
I did
too, but I think the majority, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not... Especially with this, where like it starts off with a story where it's like, everyone's dying, we're all screwed.
That is how it starts. You know, the reason it's mediocre, and maybe it's just because I haven't gotten very far, but when you start the game, you are incredibly underpowered.
Yeah.
Like, I died 5 times on the first mission because dudes would hurt me while I was blocking.
I dropped down to the lower difficulty level for, like, the first world because it was too ridiculously hard. Just so I could try to get through it and get, like, get my characters upgraded. Then I got them a little upgraded
and
got better.
Yeah, you gain red orbs, like God of War, through each level, and you can upgrade at the end of the level, but... You know, I felt like, my gosh, this first level should be a whole lot easier.
I think my problem that I ran into is that I tried to balance all 3 characters when in reality I should have just picked one that I played as and made them freaking amazing. And that's because I was like, well, you know, I want to be the big robot guy and then I want to be the little chick with the sword. And that was dumb. I should have just focused on one.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just focusing on the chick with the sword. No, I'm not. I'm
have
focusing
you gone,
on
have
the
you
cyborg
gone to a
gorilla.
Boss battle yet?
I'm the cyborg gorilla. No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, the boss battles I think are pretty cool just because they're like big set piece, you know, God of War like things.
Oh, good.
I never really picked up on this whole like how much it is like God of War until I think John Lindemann mentioned it on RFN a couple weeks ago about how like it really is like God of War, and I guess I was just thinking this was a brawler or like a cooperative brawler, and I don't really think of God of War like that.
No, me neither.
But
well, the combo system reminds me of Devil May Cry.
The combo system shouldn't remind you of Devil May Cry, Luke.
The combo system's like, there's a combo system.
Yeah, like there's like, I think you unlock maybe one more, but other than that, like, I think there's like 3 combos that you can use.
Yeah, there are.
And it's the same for each character. They do different things, but it's the same button combination for each character, which is a good idea.
It is.
To keep each character having these different controls, but it's like, when it comes down to it, I don't really notice any difference between the 3 of them, besides like, well, that one attacks with a sword.
The other thing about those not just the combo attacks, but what kind of bugs me about this game is that each character has like 5 animations. Run, jump,
yeah.
Light attack, heavy attack, block. And that's kind of it. And that kind of bugs me.
Can you do anything really to evolve your character? I mean...
Yeah, you can improve your stats and you can buy new moves.
But it just amounts to slightly different versions of the same animations and or...
Yes.
More attack when you hit the punch button.
Right. And you can also, I think you can improve your block. Because in the... At the beginning of the game, there's like a block meter. And once your block meter runs out, is that what that orange bar is? That's what it feels like it is.
Yeah.
Because every time I get hurt, I'm not hit. And when I get hit when I'm blocking, I flash orange like that meter's depleting. And that really bugs me. But maybe I'll just... I need to get into it more.
I mean, I really, like, when I was a Pixelbit, I reviewed it, and I gave it a 3 out of 5. And, like, I mean, I think it's mediocre, but I still think it's fun. Especially if you throw a friend in there, then it's a lot more fun.
That's what I'll need to do. I'll need to get my brother over here.
Does it have any kind of online play?
No. Online on the Wii? Sorry. Are you serious?
Didn't mean to ask a silly question.
That's one of those things where, like, I've talked to the producer, or I guess one of the producers, Daryl Allison. He was actually at E3 when we were playing.
Yeah, that guy.
I know.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, no, like, and the thing is like, with a lot of these games that, like, when they turn out bad, I always feel bad for those guys that are there that have so much belief in the game and, like, how, like, this is great, you know, it's going to look good, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be, you know, perfect for the Wii's audience and all that jazz. And it's just, like, even doing the email interview with them for NWR back in, like, August, and I read that interview, I was like, this game's probably going to be pretty cool. And it just turned out mediocre. I feel like if they kept with the original, more cartoony style, at least it would have been more original.
You know, the same thing happened with Jet Force Gemini. I remember it was supposed to be kind of a Saturday morning cartoon thing.
And maybe like there's some secret club out there that's like, you can't have Saturday morning cartoon video games because the Secret Saturdays has to come out.
Oh, God.
They're like, we have to have actual Saturday morning cartoon video games. We can't have games like Saturday morning cartoons.
Right. Well, I think I need to get into the game more, but I think I'll probably like it once my character gets a little tougher.
Yeah. Like, I think it's an enjoyable entry in a genre that doesn't get as much love, but it's ultimately just generic.
Yeah.
You know how you can make a brawler less fun?
Well,
you put it on a system that is inherently difficult to do co-op, and then you make sure everyone has to buy their own copy of the game.
Yes, that is the perfect way to do it.
So, Andy, what have you been reviewing?
I have been reviewing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 for the DS. This is my first Marvel Ultimate Alliance title. I have played a little bit of the old X-Men Legends game on PS2, and I played Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance on PS2, which is sort of the grandfather of, I think, this is
really all the X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance games are just Baldur's Gate.
Right. You know, and I really liked Baldur's Gate. I played Baldur's Gate all the way through probably 2 or 3 times. I really liked it. And X-Men Legends I didn't finish, but I enjoyed what I played of it. But there's a problem with putting this game on DS. There's a few problems with it. But the biggest problem is, how likely is it that you're going to find someone else that has a copy of this game for DS?
I have that same problem with half the DS games I review.
Yeah, like, I think that single card multiplayer in every game that's not made by Nintendo is the single most important feature to have if you want to beat any kind of multiplayer game on DS.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and this is exactly the kind of game that desperately needs cooperative play, because you are looking at 4 people on the screen at all times, and you can hot swap between any of the 4 of them, and that's nice. But at the same time, they never do what you want them to. It's some of the worst AI I've ever seen. Sometimes they rush into battle before you want them to. Sometimes they just don't follow you. They just hang out by the entrance to the level, and then you have to switch to them so that they warp to where you're standing.
Crappy AI.
That's a common complaint, though, among games that include friendly AI. The friendly AI is stupid.
Yep.
But in some games, the friendly AI being stupid is not that big of a deal. You just ignore it and move forward. In this game, you need to have someone competent controlling the other characters. At least that would be true if the game wasn't really, really easy.
Is there a difficulty setting at all? Or?
I don't think there is. I may have to double check before I get too deep into the review. But I've started a fresh game on this twice now because it does not autosave, I learned. So got through like the first level, and then I went back a couple hours later and I had to start over. It wasn't that bad. It was like 25 minutes worth of progress, but
it's not like Demon's Souls.
Hey, Demon's Souls is a great game.
Quite you.
I don't remember there being a difficulty setting. You know, the second problem you have with putting this game on DS is just that I don't think the DS is particularly equipped to handle a game that tries to look this good.
How exactly, like, it's all 3D? Is it, like, in the same style as the console games?
Yeah, absolutely. They did not try to compromise on the gameplay.
That's awesome.
They tried to put as much as they could into the cart, and I have a lot of respect for that decision, but I don't know that they necessarily made the right decision.
Did N-Space develop that?
Yes, N-Space did develop it.
Yeah, that makes sense because they do the Call of Duty games, which always look fantastic on DS. I mean, it's like them and Renegade Kid make these beautiful first-person shooters on DS.
Yep.
You know, it took me a little while to sort of adjust to the graphics on the DS version. I haven't played a DS game that tried to be this graphically intensive in a while, and I'm sort of the belief that the DS really can't handle good 3D graphics. They really shouldn't try to push 3D graphics on it.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, that's one opinion. Games like, you know, Bowser's Inside Story look great on it, and they're not trying to push heavy 3D.
I think that Bowser's Inside Story is the most beautiful game on DS.
It is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You look at some of, like, the Square Enix RPGs they've put out, and, you know, they're really trying hard to push the 3D, and they've done a pretty good job. And, you know, after I sort of got acclimated to the visuals in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I kind of thought the same. It took me about two levels before I decided that I actually really did like the graphics in the game. but I do like the graphics in the game. There are some really nice touches, and they didn't compromise on what they were trying to bring to the handheld version.
Did N-Space develop the Call of Duty 4 DS version?
Yes.
That's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
It's got some frame rate problems, though.
Yeah, there are some frame rate problems in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and there are some control problems. The game really needs an analog stick. If they're gonna make the characters move around the way they do, you know, then it's annoying to be confined to the 8-direction D-pad. Not that it doesn't work, it just gets annoying from time to time. There are some camera issues, although most of the time the level design is simple enough that the camera isn't that big of a deal. There's one moment about, I don't know, four levels in, where you see these two superheroes fighting in the background, and it's really impressive. When you see it for the first time, you think, wow, it's really cool that the DS pulled off that kind of, like, scale. You know, you really do kind of feel a sense of scale in the level you're in at that point. The cutscenes are told mostly through comic-style panels, not a whole lot of animation, just sort of very limited thought or word bubbles and arms moving just into the scene and then back out. But the story is based off of the Marvel Civil War, which I was completely unfamiliar with going into the game, which was kind of cool. I didn't know to expect what was going to happen about halfway through the game, and it was a pretty gutsy choice that they made, which was basically to limit your character selection.
Split the heroes.
Yeah, they basically limit your character selection halfway in, and they give you the choice of which group you want to select.
Interesting.
No, I really thought that was I played the 360 version, and I really thought that was effective how they did that, because it, like, that you can, like, go talk to both sides and hear the pros and cons and be like, more overtly, it's just like, well, you can get to be, you know, Luke Cage and Captain America, or you can be Iron Man and Mr. Fantastic. What you gonna do, punk?
Yeah. It just so happened that most of my favorite Marvel characters went one way, so I followed them.
For
the most part, I would say I am enjoying it. I don't know that I would say it is a particularly great game. It's probably somewhere between mediocre and good. But if it's the kind of game you like, then I would certainly say it's worth taking a look. As long as you're not going to be too picky about things like frame rate and control.
Is Deadpool still in the game?
I have not seen Deadpool, and that.
Oh, he might be console exclusive. His role in the 360 version was fantastic because he talks to the camera, breaks the fourth wall.
Does he still have the awesome dialogue like he did in the first one?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep.
Well, wasn't he in X-Men Legends 2? I don't know if he was in Ultimate Alliance, was he?
He was in Ultimate Alliance 1. I played the Wii version for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1. And I constantly had him on my team just...
Yeah, he's so damn funny.
Yeah.
That's one thing where I can't really speak is because I never played the first game and I never played the console versions of this game. So any characters that are missing or left out, I know
DS has a considerable amount of exclusive ones, and it's also missing a considerable amount.
Yeah,
but they'll probably.
I think if you're wondering,
DLC.
I'm pretty sure there's the Wikipedia page on this details who's in what.
Yeah, I've been playing most of the game as Wolverine and Spider-Man, so.
Nice.
Go figure.
Wolverine's always a powerhouse in these games because he's just.
But he's fast too, and he heals super quick. So it's
because he has the healing ability. He's big melee fighter. He's got claw attacks.
He's the barbarian.
Cool. Yeah.
So moving on to the notable game releases, let's start with the downloads for the last couple of weeks. Starting off with WiiWare, we have Lost Winds, Winter of the Melodia, Shutanto, Evolutionary Mayhem, Ghost's Mansion Party, and Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 3. Have any of you guys played any of these games?
I think what we know, that the winning game in that group is obviously Ghost Mansion Party, because I know everyone that I know wants to party with ghosts in a mansion.
Yes.
Well, it's perfect for Halloween.
If you're going to have a party, you have to invite ghosts.
A Halloween party.
What if the ghost is being a dick, though? How do you get rid of him?
You invite all the ghosts over, and then you have the party, and you're like, shit, now there's all these ghosts here.
Oh.
But as far as I know, Ghost Mansion Party is basically just, it's Mario Party with ghosts in a mansion.
It's probably great, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I haven't downloaded it yet. Did anyone get Lost Winds or even play the first one? Because I sure as hell did not.
I played the first one, and Winter of the Melodious is on my wish list.
I played the first one for like half of the game. I didn't love it.
So what,
but
15 minutes?
I think I might have actually fallen asleep while playing it. I do that a lot, though. That's pretty standard for me. I'm a sleepy guy.
I hope you don't fall asleep during this.
Well, that wouldn't be good.
I'll edit out the snoring, don't worry.
And Tales of Monkey Island, that's point-and-click adventure, the third one of it. I don't think any of us have played it.
I'm pretty unfamiliar with the Monkey Island series. I downloaded Secret of Monkey Island, the remake, off Steam on my PC, and I have put like 10 minutes into it, and I haven't really gotten farther.
They look nice.
You know, from what I hear, it's a game about an island with monkeys on it.
Yeah,
and pirates and stuff.
Yeah,
that's a pretty accurate summary. I think that's pretty much sums
pirates
it up.
Pirates and monkeys.
Yeah.
So now someone actually did get Shutanto.
Yes,
right?
I picked up Shutanto a couple days ago, mainly just because I wanted to have something to talk about. It's a light gun game. It's a pretty basic shooting gallery. The hook is that as you progress through the levels, you evolve from a monkey to a slightly taller monkey to a caveman, etc. Actually, I haven't gotten to the caveman stage yet. I've only gotten to the tall monkey stage, so everything after that is just conjecture.
You're like a monkey, and you're like flinging your poop at people? Like,
You're throwing rocks. You have an unlimited supply of rocks, and you can throw them as far as the eye can see. And I tried this game out with the zapper, and I did it a little bit with the nunchuck and remote. I used to decry the zapper as being a pretty useless peripheral, and it really is, but it does.
The Nyko Perfect Shot isn't that bad,
but it really does kind of make the game just a little bit more fun. I will say that I do enjoy playing with the zapper. What I have found is that playing with the zapper makes you worse at the game, and pretty much every game I've tried playing it with.
Link's crossbow training was very difficult when I used the zapper, and then I took it away. I was like, "Wow, this isn't that hard at all."
I had to actually consult the game's instruction manual to figure out how to move my character when I was playing with the zapper, because they actually show your character on in the foreground. Like, you actually have to dodge things. It's not like most light gun shooters where it's like in first person. You actually control a little monkey walking across the bottom of the screen.
Is it kind of like Space Harrier?
I've never played Space Harrier, believe it or not.
Okay.
Does it name the evolutionary stages, or is it just like tall monkey, caveman, or does it say Australopithecine, Paranthropoid?
Get out of here, paleo man.
I'm not even sure it says like stage one. It just sort of throws you in there from what I remember.
There is no introduction, there is no screen, it just puts you in the game.
But I saw dinosaurs in the screenshots.
Yeah, there is a T-Rex in the first stage, Zach, so you may have to get this.
Why has Zach not gotten this game?
Because it has a T-Rex
with monkeys
in it.
For Jurassic by the Activision like Turok ripoff.
Oh my gosh! I think I said this in the forums, but when I saw that on Kotaku, you know, they say a guy can't have multiple orgasms, but man, oh man. But the reason I'm not going to bother with Shutanon, or whatever the hell it's called, is it has monkeys with dinosaurs, which is blasphemous.
I think the bigger problem might be with the walking lizard men things that are also in the same level.
I'm so sorry.
One thing is interesting is that before you start the game, it asks you if you want to play normal or extra mode. There's no explanation whatsoever, and I haven't delved into the manual long enough to figure it out, because in order to look at the manual, you have to quit the game. So I haven't played extra mode yet. It's possible extra mode is way more fun, but normal mode is okay at best. And it's hard. This game is really freaking hard. On normal difficulty, I failed on the first level 3 consecutive times with the stupid zapper. And then I tried it on easy with the zapper and still died in the first level.
Well, you have to die 8 times.
And then you'll unlock Super Guide.
Yeah, then it does it for you.
The game just shoots itself. then I played it on I played it on easy with the remote and nunchuck, and I managed to get through like the second or the third stage. But it's still pretty hard. They throw lots of stuff at that poor monkey. Anyway, it's interesting. It was only 500 points, so I mean, it was probably better than several other games I've paid that much for on the Wii Shop channel. So, all right, so let's go ahead and move on to DSiWare. We have Domo Games, which is a series of 5 games that the titles of which escape me at the moment.
We have Picture Book Games, The Royal Bluff, and we have Sudoku. Neil, I understand you played some of the Domo games?
Yeah, at E3 they had the Domo games, which I remember I was going around the Nintendo booth and I was looking, they had like a DSiWare thing, and they had Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which was announced at the press conference, and then I noticed that they had these other games, that there were 5 Domo games. I still don't know what the hell Domo is. Like, it's all over 7-Eleven now and everything. And
it's basically a mascot in Japan. I believe it's a Japanese TV station mascot.
Okay. But these games, I know they originated, I think all of them except for one, there's 5 of them, they all originated from some Game Boy Advance compilation that was only released in Japan, developed by Suzak, which I don't really... Oh, they did the F-Zero GP Legend game on Game Boy Advance. But the Domo games, there's some sort of... They're like just very small bite-sized games. There's actually 2 that are pretty much the same. I believe it's Crash Course Domo and like Whitewater Rafting Domo or something, where they're basically just racing games with
Domo.
One's you're in water and the other one you're on a road. And there's a rhythm game that I didn't actually get to play at E3. I know of its existence though. And there's like Hard Hat Domo, where you have to like spill paint cans and get them to be the same color as ladders, so then you can go up and climb throughout this building.
I'm going to go ahead and skip this one.
These games have not sold me a DSi yet.
You know what should sell you a DSi game? The art style games.
No, don't get me started on the damn art style games.
But Picture Book Games, I know that's another recent DSiWare title. And actually, I mean, just in general, if you look at this list for the past 2 weeks, we've had, you know, 4 WiiWare games in 2 weeks, 3 DSiWare games in 2 weeks, and 3 Virtual Console games in 2 weeks. After having, we had that summer glut where we had a lot of WiiWare games, it seems like, but we had no Virtual Console games, it seems like we're actually getting multiples, which is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's picking up, and it's kind of nice to see.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, but Picture Book Games is basically just the DSiWare version of a WiiWare game where... I guess it's like I remember hearing the WiiWare game is Mario Party without the mini games, which doesn't sound appealing at all.
Sounds more enjoyable.
And I know Sudoku is a game from EA. I mean, it's another Sudoku game. I think there's countless on DSiWare at this point.
But it's only $2.
I guess just I think EA is actually putting stuff out on DSiWare that's not a crappy promotional thing for My Sims. That's good. I mean, that there's another developer / publisher that's on board with, you know, Nintendo's downloadable services, even if they're just putting out Sudoku, and like maybe they'll put out a I hope that EA, because I know they have, I think, the license for Tetris on phones or something, So there better be a friggin' Tetris game coming out to DSiWare.
Well, seems like a no-brainer. Is Tetris, yeah. Tetris DS still hard to find?
Yes,
it's still impossible. I remember at E3, I had the fortune of, with Jonathan Metz, interviewing Hank Rogers and Alexei Pajitnov, basically the person who discovered Tetris and the person who created it. And we did bring up, like, you know, how about DSiWare? And they were like, we'll let you know. So I think it's an inevitability. I just don't know when.
I heard that Majesco now has the Tetris license.
Oh, yeah, they do. I forgot about that.
And recently EA made a Tetris game on PSP minis.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But Majesco has the WiiWare and DSiWare rights now, I think.
Or just the Wii and DSi rights. Because I don't think a specific platform has been specified, whether it's a retail release or a digital distro.
Majesco seems to be doing a lot for Nintendo in general, but I guess we'll save that as a topic for another time in the interesting time. So Virtual Console.
We have Zombies Ate My Neighbors for Super NES. We have Rygar for the Virtual Console Arcade, and also the arcade version of Golden Axe for the Virtual Console Arcade.
Well, it looks like they're actually putting crap out on Virtual Console Arcade after releasing 6 games and basically doing nothing with it for 3 months.
I'm kind of interested in Rygar because I played the NES version of Rygar quite a bit when I was a kid.
I don't think the arcade game is all that different from the original Nintendo game, but I mean, I think it just looks prettier.
One thing the original NES game had going on was no continues and a pretty high difficulty level.
We all had that.
You really had to use the Game Genie basically to beat that game. What I remember.
I missed the Game Genie.
Rest in peace, Galoob.
Did anyone get Zombies Ate My Neighbors? Because I mean, I've been kind of meaning to, because it's one of those Super Nintendo classics that I missed, but have always heard such good things about.
I fully intend to.
I have the Super Nintendo cartridge, and I fully intend to rebuy it on Virtual Console just to support a really awesome game.
And LucasArts is following through on their promise with doing Virtual Console games, which is fantastic.
Yeah, well, one interesting thing about the Super Nintendo version, and I believe also the Sega Genesis version, the original publisher was Konami.
Yeah, and they held the copyright until... They held it for a while, I know, and I guess LucasArts got it back.
Yeah, but if you really love B horror movies, you should definitely get this. Like, it has all the staples, like from Chainsaw Men to giant babies, UFO Martians invading a football game, and you're basically saving hostages during a football game, which is awesome, before the aliens take away all the cheerleaders.
Nice.
It seems to me that in every group of screenshots I've ever seen for this game, the giant baby is heavily featured.
That giant baby is one of the most annoying boss battles I have ever encountered on a Super Nintendo game. But if you really love awesome retro games and want to support Virtual Console, definitely get Zombies Ate My Neighbor. It's one of my highest recommended Super Nintendo games.
Not that I'm always in line with your tastes, but, you know, I'll definitely check this one out.
but I do have to warn everybody that it's one of those retro games that is very difficult, and you won't pass through all the 50 or so levels in one pass. You will die multiple times.
Are there unlimited continues?
There is a pass... The password system.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Oh. All right. I think I found my next candidate for the really hard game that me and my best friend plowed through, because that was Super Ghouls and Ghosts was our summer project.
Oh, God.
We finished that up. That was like, I'm moving back to school tomorrow. I guess we'll have to finish this one, and we did.
Well, Neil, the passwords, I believe they're only 4 characters long, and you have to remember that Virtual Console does have a save state.
Hey, Lucas.
Yes.
I like awesome retro games, too, which is why I bought the Metroid Prime Trilogy.
I also bought it, too, during a Toys R Us buy to get one free sale. I bought Metroid Prime Trilogy, Muramasa, and of course you sold me on Dead Space Extraction.
Sweet.
And I'm loving it. And I'm
Dead Space Extraction is damn good.
It is damn good.
But anyway, moving on, because this is Golden Axe, let's just say that one of those brawlers that Spyborgs was trying to, like, refer back to, and when you go back and you realize that those brawlers kind of suck,
they do.
Golden Axe is, like, the friggin' poster child of that. So moving on, let's wrap that shit up.
So for retail releases this week, Nostalgia for DS.
Which I guess is awesome.
Yeah, I am enjoying it a lot, although if, Zach, you're not into old-school RPGs, you might not like it as much. Basically, you have, like, a party of four people. It's turn-based battles, like, no, like, you know, good old fun Mario RPG action stuff. It's very, you know, it's not really grind-heavy. It's kind of like a natural grind as you go through the world.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of side stuff to do. There's a pretty kick-ass, airship battle stuff too, because basically you have two completely different battle systems.
Oh.
There's, you know, with the four, it's like these four kids, you know, them, you know, on the ground with, you know, swords and guns and stuff. And then you have these airship battles where you have this big old airship and, you know, you'll have people come on either on, like, different sides of you and you'll have to attack.
Oh, okay.
And there's different, like, powers for, there's different, like, skills and everything that you build up for each one.
I mean, that sounds fun. I'm not looking forward to it, but when you say old-school RPG, my mind harkens back to, like, Final Fantasy IV, where it's all menu-based, and, you know, you gotta buy spells and, you know, talk to this guy to go do this thing.
It's
not
so much that. There's a lot of side stuff to do, but it's very linear, and it's like a good-paced linear. Like, you don't really seem to be going through these dungeons that last hours. Like, you'll go through a dungeon. I mean, I haven't been it, so maybe some of the later dungeons are a lot longer, but there's, like, you know, like, you'll be in a dungeon for, like, 20 minutes, and then you can also do these, like, side missions in the Adventurers Association and go back through these dungeons, and they'll be, like, remixed a little bit, which is pretty cool.
Okay, see, I'm not too worried about it. I think I probably will enjoy it.
Awesome.
All right, okay, moving on from Nostalgia, we also have DJ Hero for Wii.
I hated the Best Buy demo.
I really liked the Best Buy demo.
I hated the controller.
My one thing is that, like, I really liked the gameplay of it, and, like, you know, how you do have something to do with your other hand while you're just, you know, scratching the disc or scratching the record and everything.
Well, my main problem with the game is that I hate song mashups in general, and it made me hate some songs that I actually liked before, and it just ruined it for me now forever.
I just think the way it's, like, executed, I think, is pretty cool. Like, it's not $120 cool by any stretch of means.
What is?
My one complaint with the game is, like, I mean, I was enjoying myself when I was playing it, except for, like, my hand was cramping up, which I think was probably because they had that ridiculous DJ stand, or, like, the stand for the controller. And I think, I mean, I'm a lefty. I don't do lefty flip or anything in Guitar Hero, but I think this is one game that I would have to do lefty flip on, because it was just so uncomfortable. I actually got to a point where I literally spun the entire thing around and just did it backwards because that was comfortable.
Well, Neil, did you know that you can actually take apart the controller and arrange it into, like, a lefty mode?
Yeah, no, I knew that. It's just that I didn't feel like futzing around with the Best Buy demo.
Oh.
And I tried to do it easily, and, like, I was like, eh, this will take a little while to figure out. I just want to play the game and leave.
I'm kind of curious if they took the Guitar Hero difficulty ceiling and moved it over to DJ Hero, because I know Guitar Hero is known, especially in contrast to its main competition in Rock Band, you know, Guitar Hero is known for being really heavy on the extremely hard difficulty. I'm kind of curious if DJ Hero matches that.
I don't know if it does or not, but it's also, like, it would be pretty hard to tell just because there's no competitor.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's
you don't
true.
Really have any reference point with DJ Hero. Like, it could just be hard because, you know, it's new, kind of like how in Rock Band 1, you know, the drums were hard as hell because it was new.
Well, there was also Drum Mania from Konami, but that was an arcade only and more popular in Japan. Speaking about Guitar Hero, the game has a weird multiplayer mode.
Yeah, on certain songs, you can play DJ and guitar, or, like, you can have a DJ and a guitarist.
It's either or, which is weird because to me it kind of feels like they're trying to shoehorn the Guitar Hero franchise by allowing you to play the guitar and actually having the Guitar Hero name on the front of the box.
I think they probably just realized that most of the people who buy DJ Hero probably already have a guitar.
Yeah.
So they're like, we may as well throw this
in. I mean, it's a nice little bonus. Like, I don't think it's that big of a part of the game, and I think it's, you know, it's like a good way to be like, hey, you know that other plastic crap you have in your room? You can use it with this game, kind of.
Yeah, and I heard that analysts are saying that the demand for DJ Hero is severely lessened than the initial.
I don't think it's going to sell well at all.
Oh, it's too niche. Nobody's...
Especially at $120.
Ugh. Yeah, someone from Activision made a comment about how they don't expect it to do that well off the bat, and they expect it to have kind of a long tail. They used the example of the original Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't sell very well.
It took a while to take off. But then again, the original Guitar Hero didn't have this kind of marketing push. I mean, right now as we're recording, I've had the Yankee game on, which they're friggin' blowing chunks they're about to lose. But every now and then I'll look over during a commercial, and I think they've had a DJ Hero commercial on. It's like sponsored by DJ Hero, so they're throwing a big marketing push at it.
Yeah, though I can also wonder how Tony Hawk will do, considering how that is another $120 Activision game.
I think Tony Hawk might actually do better, if only because Tony Hawk is an established franchise. Like, I know the Hero brand is also established, but the DJ aspect of it, like, that's completely new, which I think will probably put off a lot of people. And I think that the skateboard, like, the fact that, oh, you know, it's like skateboarding, like, that's something that's very, very familiar to, I guess, a bigger group of people.
But is it $120 cool? That's the $1 million question.
Well, I guess it's the $120 question.
I really do think that there's going to be at a certain point where these $120 peripheral based games are going to bottom out.
I don't think either of them are really going to sell that well.
I would expect them to bottom out right about now, considering how we had Wii Fit for $90 and $100,
right.
Rock Band for $200, or if the Beatles edition, $250, and now Band Hero is going to be $200.
Even in the case of Wii Fit, you know, I don't know that I even include Nintendo in this category, although they do fit well with Wii Fit.
Nintendo makes almost as much plastic crap as anyone else.
Yeah, but they...
There's a difference, is that I don't think Nintendo really charges as much for it. Like,
that's
true.
The balance board, I mean, okay, what, the Wii Fit Plus bundle is $100? Like, they added 10 more dollars onto it, right?
Yeah.
And even still, I think that the Wii Fit balance board has more of a function than the friggin' DJ thing or the Tony Hawk ride board. And I think
that's true.
Both of those games are missing the boat. Because if they could squeeze it to be $90 or $100, like, I feel like that's a, like, $120 is a huge barrier.
The success of Wii Fit is more attributed to me to Nintendo's Blue Ocean strategy than to whether or not it came with a peripheral.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the success of Tony Hawk Ride and DJ Hero are more tied to the cost. I don't think either of them will have the marketing cachet or the brand cachet that Wii Fit did.
Yeah, I think that Tony Hawk is old hat at this point. Like, if this was Tony, if Tony Hawk Ride came out like Tony Hawk 2, Tony Hawk 3 times, like, shit would sell off the shelves.
But also, you know, Wii Fit was on Oprah.
I don't know anybody who's more than just casually curious about DJ Hero. I don't know anyone who's, like, really, really excited about it.
Me neither.
I'm certainly not.
I also think that what we're kind of discounting here is, even, I mean, I'll reference how there's all these commercials on the Phillies-Yankees game. My brother actually texted me, like, during one of the first couple innings. He was like, oh, DJ Hero, what's this about? Do you know anything about it? And, I mean, I think that's, I mean, maybe they planned it to be during the World Series so that way they could have, you know, ads during it. And I think that a lot of people that will see that, they might be willing to, you know, they'll be like, oh, that looks cool. I like DJ shit. And they'll go out and buy it. I don't think, like, I think DJ Hero might go over us, but I think that it will find a market. I still
don't
think
it's
going to sell
very well. But
they don't
see what the price is on TV. These people go to the store and be like, $120, fuck that.
I agree.
I could buy beer.
Or I could buy two or three games for that price.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we should move on to the next game in our list. We're starting to run kind of long. Okay, so next up we have Drawn to Life, the next chapter.
It's on Wii and DS. I believe Planet Moon Studios are developing the Wii version, and Fifth Cell, who, you know, made the first game and made Scribblenauts, are working, or they worked on the DS version.
I wonder if this game will have control issues.
It probably will. I mean, I really like Fifth Cell. Like, Scribblenauts is a cool idea. And I thought the first Tron to Life was a cool idea, but the controls for both games suck.
That's the thing. It's a cool idea. You know, I can think up a cool. I can think of a cool idea right now.
Do it.
Okay. It has to do with dinosaurs.
There can be no penises or dinosaurs.
Primal Rage 2.
Primal Rage 2 for DS confirmed.
Can't miss.
I'll accept it. But anyway, so Tron to Life, the next chapter. I mean, I don't really know how much different they're doing with it. I feel like it's just going to be more of the same, and I think I haven't read an early review, but I saw an abstract for an early review, and I think that's what it said.
Can my character be a penis?
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right. Well, that's something.
There's one victory.
Or two victories across both platforms.
There you go.
So next up on our agenda, we have an announcement of a new game, Excitebike World Rally.
I'm so pumped.
This game looks very similar to the original NES Excitebike. It's got a lot of the same features, like the track editor. Well, okay, it has one of the same features. It's also got online play, and I'm kind of curious. What do you guys think about this remake?
What I said. I am so pumped. I love the original Excitebike and the idea. Do we know if there's like 4-player local multiplayer for this or not?
I hope so.
There better be.
If there's not, then my I'm so pumped will go to be like, yeah, I'll buy it.
I can't fathom they wouldn't put 4-player co-op in that scene.
Like I just think the idea versus. Because it's Excitebots, Excitetruck, but it's Excitebike. And that's awesome. I don't know who's... I'm really curious to know who's developing it. I don't know if it's, like, internally at Nintendo, or maybe it's the guys who did Excitebots and Excitetruck.
Who did Nitro Bike? Because Nitro Bike was a pile.
It was Left Field who also did Excitebike 64.
Yeah, that's what makes me nervous, that they'll be giving us the reins of this.
I don't know if they are, because I know what I've... Because I guess Nintendo sent the game out to the bigger outlets... And a lot of them put up impressions today, and from what I noticed is that everyone is like, this is awesome. Good. This is better than Excitebike 64. This is what Excitebike 64 should have been.
I'm wondering if they're going to have some sort of track exchange program with people on your friends list. I think that would be very cool.
I hope so. Like there's a lot of ways that they could go about this game and make it spectacular, and even if they just have this online play in the track editor, like it's still going to be pretty kick-ass game, because the first Excitebike game is very simple, but it's a lot of fun in how it is, and they had a track editor in an original Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Like, it's still fun.
This game is set for a November 9th release on WiiWare.
Wow.
Do we know a price?
I don't believe we know a price yet, although if I had to guess, I would say probably 1,000 or 1,500 Wii points.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll clock in at 10 bucks.
10 or 12 bucks.
I think it's going to be 10.
What do you guys think about the graphics? Because the graphics were sort of a very cool retro, modern retro, the 3D that's made to look exactly like the 8-bit. I kind of like that.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. Like, I really love the concept of this game, and I love what they're doing with it, and I hope they do it with more franchises on WiiWare.
Absolutely.
Although it does go against what Nintendo has said, like, in the past about how, you know, like, they're not going to bring their big franchises to WiiWare, but I guess maybe Excitebike isn't a big franchise.
It's not a big franchise, no.
Okay, so moving on, we have the next news story. We have a new story about the DSi. They're releasing a larger screen DSi in Japan. Of course, this DSi is going to be strictly aimed at older gamers or gamers who have trouble seeing. It's not going to improve the resolution of the screens. It's not going to have any extra features.
It's the DSi Large Print Edition.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's.
I mean, I guess if it's not too much of like a cost on developing it, then it's totally worth it, because I mean there are definitely a lot of older gamers out there, you know, grandparents that are playing DS, and this will be perfect for that demographic.
I would be kind of curious on how hard it's going to be to find in stores if they do come out with something like this. Is this the kind of thing that's going to be widely available, or are they going to make a couple hundred and special order them from the website?
Yeah, I wonder that too.
I feel like it'll be aimed at specific stores.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think they'll put it under the Touch Generations brand.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, I think they're going to do it how they did the GBA SP, because if you remember, they released a version of the GBA SP with brighter backlighting.
Yeah, it just sort of quietly replaced the original.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to happen to this one if it actually comes into fruition.
Well, I hope it doesn't phase it out, because Pale made a good point when he said that, you know, if the resolution doesn't change, it'll look worse.
Well, you never really know, in a way, until you actually see it in person.
All right. Well, maybe they'll fix resolution problems with it.
You guys think there's a chance this is going to come to the States?
Yeah.
Probably with some sort of delay after the Japanese release.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like the original Game Boy Light, if anybody remembers that one.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Game Boy, you mean Game Boy Pocket?
No, Game Boy Light, which is basically a Game Boy Pocket with a backlight.
Yep.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. You know, the Game Boy Pocket was always my favorite version of the Game Boy.
Yeah, I agree, except the fact that it powers on AAA batteries, and I personally hate AAA batteries.
You have a vendetta against the AAA batteries.
I'm going to send you, like, if I ever have another game to send you, like Cursed Mountain or something, I'll send you with like a pack of AAA batteries.
There you go.
Just to piss you off.
Well, Neil, since you are in New Jersey, I'll just hunt you down and just flip AAA batteries at you.
Anyway, moving on to our last news story for the night. We have a story that was on MTV Multiplayer blog. It's about Shigeru Miyamoto, and he was talking about games that didn't quite get the public approval that he would have liked, and he specifically cited the Star Fox series as an example. He said that the series was not selling as well as he had hoped, and he had always tried to make the games super fun, but they had not been received as well in recent installments. What do you guys think about this?
Yeah, I can tell you right now, it's because the series freaking sucks right now.
Well, considering when you start off with probably the greatest entry in the series first, and
yes.
I'll probably get some shit for this.
No,
I completely love the Star Fox Super Nintendo game.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I love Star Fox 64, don't get me wrong, but Star Fox Super Nintendo, I think, is just a very focused and spectacular experience, and I think Star Fox 64 has, you know, the story going on with it and all that, and that's a great experience as well. And those two games are fantastic.
I actually have a funny story about the original Star Fox. Basically, it was back in the day, I rented it out from Blockbuster before they had those snazzy, just after your rental period, just pay $1.25, so they counted every day after your due date, and they would tack on these crazy amounts.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so while I was playing it, the Blockbuster representative called me to do a reminder, and I was like around 6 or 7. So the lady asked me, so do you remember that you have to bring this back today? I was like, oh no, I'm still currently playing it right now. And I said, okay, I'll give it back to you when I'm done. And then I abruptly hung up the phone hard.
Nice.
That's why I love that game, that memory.
I don't understand why it's not on the virtual console.
Yeah, same here.
Is it the Super FX chip?
I think they might have difficulties emulating that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there's no other Super FX games on the virtual console, are there?
Yeah, I guess Yoshi's Island isn't on there either.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it'll come eventually if they can work out the difficulties on emulation. It would be a good milestone release for them.
Yep.
But anyway, going on to what Miyamoto said, I mean, he's disappointed in sales, and I guess, you know, because they took different directions and he tried to make it super fun. And I guess he kind of failed, because I guess I won't try to speak for Miyamoto in this case, but if you look at Star Fox and Star Fox 64, they both basically do the same thing, and they're just an on-rail shooter.
Right.
And, I mean, they're great in that aspect. If you look at everything after that, Star Fox Adventures aside, because that doesn't really count. If you look at, like, Star Fox Assault, like, they decided to make it, you know, an on-rail shooter, but then they also threw in, you know, the on-foot missions, the Landmaster missions, and all that, which were actually, some of that was in Star Fox 64, at least tucked away in it. And, I mean, that was pretty poorly received, which, I mean, personally, I liked Star Fox Assault a lot. I thought the multiplayer was kind of cool. I thought the game was fun in general. It's just, I mean, I recognize that it's kind of crappy, but I don't really care.
Well, I mean, If they had just made Star Fox 64 again early in the GameCube years or middle of the GameCube years and then made it again later on, and then they've had 3 or 4 Star Fox games since Star Fox 64, and common belief is if they would just have made another Star Fox 64, things would have been fine. But if they had just kept making Star Fox 64, I think by now we'd be pretty sick of it.
Well, we keep buying Zelda games.
Yeah, but Zelda games have a lot more going on.
Zelda and Star Fox are not really that well to compare.
No, but I just mean it's basically you're paying for the same game. When you buy a Mario game, when you buy a Zelda game, it's the core experience is the same. They should be doing that with Star Fox.
Well, I think they kind of tried to go back to the roots because, you know, Namco, they did Star Fox Assault. And for Star Fox Command for DS, which came out, I think, about 2 years ago, that was developed by Q Games, who in Q Games is Dylan Cuthbert. He was one of the designers on the original Star Fox game for Super Nintendo. But I think what kind of lost me with Star Fox Command is that they kind of made it this strategy game as well, which I didn't really find to be that fun. And the actual shooting segments of it kind of sucked.
Okay, well, maybe the problem is they're not sure what to do with Star Fox.
I agree.
Because it's, you know, Star Fox Adventures was like Star Fox Chore Boy. Star Fox Assault was, we're going to throw everything in this game. And then Star Fox Command is kind of strategy-based space shooter. So maybe they just don't know where to go with the franchise.
Well, they haven't put a game out in almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years coming up next year.
Well, no, they haven't, because they put out Star Fox Command like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I guess.
It's been since almost 5 years since
I guess I'm thinking of a console version. They haven't put a console Star Fox out in about 5 years. I guess I kind of forgot about Command because, to be honest, I didn't really like it very much. I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah, I picked up Command. I didn't get it at first, but I did pick it up, and like the best part about that, I thought, was the crappy story and the different multiple endings. Like, I feel like I've talked about this somewhere in the past in some lost annal of NWR podcast history about the one ending where it's just like, friggin' the girl dies in one of the endings. Crystal dies in one of the endings, I think. And then, like, Fox and Falco are, like, in a bar. And Falco's just like, hey, man, let's go race F-Zero.
What?
And then it ends. Like, that's, like, the best alternate ending for anything ever.
That's pretty awesome.
You know what would be amazing? If Nintendo gave the Star Fox franchise and let Treasure develop it, that would be
awesome.
That's a good
I know
match.
I was on the bandwagon for Factor 5 doing a Star Fox game, but that's kind of impossible right now, so Treasure is a much better choice.
Even with that, I would still prefer Treasure, considering that they could do pretty crazy stuff. And even though that they're a very small team, they know how to exploit hardware and make some really nice special effects. Like, just for an example, just look at what they did on the Genesis and, I guess, the Super Nintendo as well.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good match for that franchise. I would be very interested in that game.
Yeah, and considering how Sin and Punishment is getting rave reviews, Sin and Punishment 2, it would be a good match.
Yeah, because that just came out in Japan.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's our last news story for the night, so I think that's going to wrap it up for NWR Newscast Episode 4. We've had Luke Belichki, Neil Ronahan, Zach Miller, and myself. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Check us out on iTunes. Leave a review. It'd be nice to see some reviews up there. I mean, it's been empty up there so far, but we're just kind of getting back into the groove, so it'd be kind of cool to see.
I think I may have rated it at some point, but that's probably not kosher.
And, of course, we have the other great NWR podcast, Radio for Nintendo, and Radio Trivia Podcast Edition, so check those out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, next week I recorded a special with Team Meat, Edmund McMillan and Tommy Farines. I mispronounced his name in the friggin' podcast. So, but that should be going up next week, and it's pretty vulgar and pretty fun, and Super Meat Boy looks fantastic. So
Excellent.
That should be cool.
Alrighty, for NWR Newscast, we're signing off.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Slap at the base.
Oh, Neil.